captain of Ingolimus. Akivas faces his job in GOG with Keeve and Ellie and Zooey.
Hey fam, welcome back to New Girl Old Guy for season 5, episode 20 of New Girl Return to Sender. I am neither the new girl nor the old guy. My name is Allie Lasher, and I'm just now realizing that I labeled the recording the wrong episode, but very excited to be talking about episode 20. We're near the end, Keeve.
Only two more left. Five. Are we doing a double next week?
Yes, we discussed that. We are doing a double.
Nice.
Very nice. This episode originally aired, before I forget to say it, because I have it up right now, May 3rd, 2016. 2016.
All right, so almost 8 years ago. We're catching up to them. Not really.
We have mostly things to discuss. I really like this episode, and I want to discuss it. But
episode.
We have a lot of things that we need to discuss.
On the back burner, the front burner, the burners.
The stove's on fire.
Okay.
Well, you first said, quick, start the podcast. I want to discuss it on podcast. Do you want to say something first?
Well, this wasn't urgent, but we were talking about it. So I will say we had planned...
Wasn't urgent, as opposed to everything else we have to
urgent,
discuss.
Urgent, emergency. we had planned. We always Alex and I always do like some stupid podcasts between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl in the NFL because there's 4 podcasts 2 weeks, so we'll do one preview, one review. The other 2 podcasts, we're not just going to talk about the Super Bowl 4 times. So we. What's it called? Like, we really wanted to do, like, I always want to do something stupid. Famously, once we did, like, we watched the premiere of Riverdale, and people were really mad because they wanted us to talk about the Super Bowl. Like, why are you talking about Riverdale? This is many years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that tracks.
So, the plan I had thought of months ago was that you, me, and Alex would watch the movie Titanic since you and him had famously never seen the movie.
Which I have also, I have said that the only way now that I will watch Titanic is that if Alex and I both watch it for a podcast.
So here's the bad news. This happened a little while ago, but I never brought it up on the podcast. Alex went on a different podcast than watched Titanic.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He went on a different podcast than watched Titanic. He claims that.
Hold on, I'm actually frozen. I might have to take a break. Like, I'm actually so upset about that.
He claims that I might have to
end this recording.
He claims that he mentioned on 32 Fans. He had a reason why he thought it was okay to watch it. That we weren't.
I don't give a shit what he thought the reason was because no, as discussed on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he doesn't listen anymore.
I don't give a shit what he listens to. Like, well, I'm about to blacklist him, and you know that that's not a good experience.
You don't want
to
be on that blacklist.
If it's a long list, then you don't want to be on it. But, like, I have to calm down for a second. He said, it's go time, like, we're doing the Titanic idea. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was out at a bar, and I was like, yeah, definitely, for sure. And then I, like, wrote back in the morning, like, oh, are we doing this? And he was like, yeah, I watched it. Like, have you watched it? And I was like, what? And then you and I discussed, and you were like, no, I want to be a part of that podcast, and it can't be now, like, whatever random football mm-hmm. weekend that was.
Right.
And so I was like, all right, you guys work it out amongst yourself. Get back to me. So I've been waiting for Alex and you to say, okay, it's go time.
Yeah, it was going
to
be this
after
week.
The Super Bowl, I thought, but, like, fair if it would have been mm-hmm. this coming yeah. week. For him to then, because he can't do anything, he can't have any consumption of media that doesn't result in a tweetable list or a tweetable ranking or some godforsaken
podcast. Oh, I remember his reason.
It's
not good. I remember
his
reason.
And now he goes, it probably was because he'd already watched it. Now it was like burning a hole in his
pocket. It was because he watched
it
and it was burning a hole in his pocket.
That's what I'm saying, because he can't consume anything without producing some product. He has to go and betray like a multi-year gag we've been doing. And now mm-hmm. I'm in a position where I could never watch Titanic. Because I've said I'll only watch it to do a podcast with him, very specifically.
I feel very
deeply betrayed by this.
What if you come on 32 Fans without him and we watch it?
That's still helping his bottom line.
I don't think it really. I think it might hurt his bottom line if it's just me and you talking Titanic. But
especially after all of this commotion, I would never.
What if we made it the
jar? I would
jar
never. You
on
could
NGOG.
Pay. You could pay off my law school loans today mm-hmm. for me to do it, and I will mm-hmm. never do it on 32 Fans now.
What if we did it in the jar?
I don't know that I want to sully my... Again, that's still giving him the energy because, like, who wants to hear us talking about Titanic? Like,
I think a lot of people would be happy to talk. I mean, a lot is doing some work there, but I think people would. It's been a long bit.
Yeah, so I thought. And then he just, like, randomly went. And also, like, who gives a shit about in the audience? And I don't want to plug the podcast. I don't want to know what podcast it was on. But who cares? Like, who in that audience cares? Like, that some random guy who's not a regular member of that podcast is showing up when their entire listenership, probably, of a movie-related podcast has already consumed any media they're interested in related to Titanic.
Yeah, no, bad job by Alex.
And he's such a coward, he doesn't even have the balls to face me to tell me that. But by the way, I'm going on this podcast. He could have even said, like, I really want to talk about this right now. Can we do it tomorrow? Like,
yeah,
you
I
were the holdup. You were the problem.
Yeah,
I mean, I agreed with you. I was happy to push it off, but, like,
it's a long movie, football season.
It's a double betrayal.
Wow.
Wow, that really
like
just
Billy
took
Zane
all
the
air
in the
out
movie
of my
Titanic.
Sails.
You don't even get it.
Look, I was very happy to come talk about this episode, and, you know, it seems like a really stupid thing to get upset about, but, and I know it would be funnier and better if I was like, that's great, go check it out. I'm very upset. Like, I'm like, it has taken the air out of my sails for this podcast now.
Can I try? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm also choked
sails
up.
Again? Well, no, well, two things. I just mentioned this also on a different podcast today, but it's been 15 years since I last took a sick day. I have, like, an important meeting tomorrow, and I just worked from home today. But I'm a mess. I don't know if I could, like, come in if, like, there's, like, tears running down my face. I don't know if it's, like, COVID or the flu or strep or whatever. I love this streak. I hate the fact that I might have to. I know it's stupid, but 15 years.
Can I offer you some advice taken from the league? Like, nobody wants you in the office if you're sick. Like, it's not a hero's move to have a streak where you went into the office and infected people when you were sick.
Nah, I think there are people who probably would want me there.
Then they suck.
Nah, I'm kidding. I don't know. I'm sure people would want me to stay home if I was sick.
Speaking of being set up and betrayed.
Yeah.
You know, we had a real incident last week where the whole podcast, you couldn't remember, like, a story that
yes.
you wanted to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so first of all, you told me a story that happened to you where you encountered a Survivor fan in the wild.
Right.
And I said, please tell the story to Rob on Renap.
Correct.
That turned out to be kind of a setup. Well, in fairness, I then intended to drop NGOG, like, immediately. So, like, a little inside joke to the NGOG listeners. They would have heard the context. Then they would have heard you on Renap. A real, like, nice back and forth. Then you were like, maybe hold the podcast so that we can re-record you telling me the story because you remembered it.
Yeah.
And then even though pre-Shabbat you were like, you know what, we're not going to have time. Do whatever you want. Once I lost some momentum, I sat on the podcast until Monday, which allowed a lot of people to be very confused why I told you to tell a story that absolutely then flopped on Renap. Which then, on the challenge wrap-up, because we pushed our NGOG recording, Brian brings this up to me at the very end of the podcast and is like, by the way, like, Akiva told a terrible story that I had no business telling. I mean, he was kinder than that, but essentially. And I had to go on to explain that I need to apologize to you because I was not trying to set you up to tell a bad story. I just failed to remember that Rob is, like, a nice guy who does consider you a friend. And really the success of the story relies on me, not to toot my own horn, reacting by absolutely obliterating you in the roast that, like, the fact that you think you're friends with Rob and you would say that is, like, you think so highly of yourself.
Yeah.
But telling Rob,
I got
he was
a
like,
lot
yes,
of
and.
Questions about the story, I'll be honest. Nobody said that's the greatest story I've ever heard. Or even that's a good story, but I did get a lot of questions. Who was the person in the restaurant?
Well, yeah, because you gave a lot of, like, there were a lot of.
But I believe you had never heard of the person when I told you who. So that's also going to be a disappointment.
Well, I apologize for throwing you to the wolves on Renap.
That's fine.
Anyway. So what was the story?
Okay, so now this is going to be speaking of stories that are letdowns, it's going to be a letdown. But basically,
I couldn't be any more let down than I already am by the Titanic thing.
Basically, a few weeks ago, we were talking about timing and things, and I think I had, like, a funny reason why we couldn't record, but I said, let me just tell you on the podcast. But then I forgot to tell, we didn't record, and then I forgot to tell you. So I'll tell you now, but feel like it would have been funnier to you than to the listeners. You said, can we record? It was a Saturday, January 1st, and it was my daughter's 18th birthday. So for her birthday, we asked her what she wanted. Now, she already got a car 2 months ago. We didn't, like, buy the car outright, but, like, you know, I feel like that's, you know, what else do you need?
I feel like you told me she saved up for it.
Yeah, I'm saying we didn't buy the car, but I feel like still, that's your birthday present.
It's not that you didn't buy the car outright.
We let her
you
get
mean,
the car. We let her. I didn't want her to get the
you're
car.
You're saying that you're 18, after the steak you sprung for on Mara's, you were out of money for a birthday gift for Ella.
Well, Ella's birthday is before Mara's. It's 1 week before.
Okay, so so it was like you spending your own, the privilege of you spending your own money on the car.
Well, she buys, she's a big spender. She buys her own stuff. So that's really, I'm sure, whatever she wanted for her birthday, she bought herself. And so we said, what do you want to do? And she said, well, you know, my friends aren't 18 yet. What I'd like to do, because the legal drinking age is 18 here, is to go out with you guys drinking on Saturday night, which is my birthday, I think. Maybe the first wasn't Saturday. I don't remember, but whatever, on Saturday night. And I said, okay, and then it was like, who else do you want to come? And then she's like, well, I don't really have any friends who can come because I'm born January 1st. I'm the oldest in my class. So she invited her aunts and uncles. So it was her parents, and her two aunts and her two uncles, six grown-ups in their 30s, plus her going to a bar and doing shots and all these things. That was what she wanted for her birthday.
Okay, first of all, that's the cutest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I guess. I still think it's a pretty funny story.
Despite
sorry
your
to
best
listeners.
Efforts, you seem to have a really excellent kid who values her relationship with you.
I mean, I think it's kind of nerdy. No offense to her, but like, I
well, it's only nerdy
kid.
Because you're a loser. Like, some people with cool parents, like, it's fun.
Well, I'm a loser but a cool parent?
No. Like, you think it's nerdy because you're a loser.
But you're saying she has cool parents, so.
Well, Mara.
She asked me to come too. Probably.
Did you take a shot? Kiwi doesn't drink.
She did make me take one shot, and I had one beer.
Okay, so she bullied her dork dad. That's awesome.
She bullied her dork dad. Yeah.
What'd you take a shot of? Buzz wine?
I don't know. They just handed me a shot. I mean, she was mostly doing like the shots, but she handed me something, and I did it. I don't remember what it was.
So. So this is interesting, very interesting from a parent's perspective. Like, so presumably she got drunk or she's a tank.
Not like destroyed, but yeah.
She took multiple shots. Like, I don't.
Yeah. And had like other like fun cocktails before.
Is this the first time you've seen her drunk?
I think so.
Is that a weird experience as a parent to see like a kid doing like.
No, because she's still like she's still like a pretty well behaved kid. So it wasn't so weird.
I more mean like from like a maturity perspective, like not like, oh, like I'm seeing her be bad, but like.
No, because she thinks she's 52 every day. So it's not okay, like, oh, so look at this little baby.
You've seen her do a lot of adult activities, and I don't mean adult.
I mean,
adult,
she
like,
makes like Shabbat dinner for the whole family every week. Like it's, you know, I've seen. Yeah.
Okay. Do you think like it'll hit differently with Adira or it's like a. Your
no, Adira is, I think, too cool. I do not think she'd want to do that. She'd want to go out with her friends.
Right, but presumably you'll see Adira drunk at some point. As like, I never drank with my mom. Like, you know what I mean? But like,
I don't think I will. Hopefully not. She's probably smart enough to like not drink in front of us.
I texted Alex. I'm upset. I have to stop talking to all of the MOAs because I'm done with all of you. I said, I'm mid-record on NGOG, and I'm finding out for the first time that you betrayed the Titanic plan. And, of course, immediate defensiveness or whatever. I betrayed? I asked you. You said, yes, I watched it. Then you told me the next day you didn't watch it. Once again, a classic MOA-level plan, which is like, well, I don't want to do an anti-Semitism. A classic Alex plan for a podcast is I said, would you be interested in watching this? And I said, yes. And so I watched it immediately, and because you didn't immediately watch it,
I like your expression, burning a hole in his pocket. It was burning a hole in his pocket.
Oh, it's going to be tough to get through this one. I'm upset. And you know when somebody upsets you and they're not going to understand why or ever care about it? So it's like, just got to eat this one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't know. You're usually the one who doesn't care. Isn't upset by it.
Right. I'm usually not the one who's upset.
Must be nice. Anyway, Jake Johnson has a new movie out.
Yes. Eve. We're going to watch it in 2 weeks, I think.
Well, we're discussing that right now.
Okay. Let's talk.
First of all, Grace pointed me in to an interview that Jake Johnson did, which I have to listen to. Jake Johnson has been on the press circuit, baby. I don't know if you've caught any of this.
Well, I don't know if you know, but we have a podcast. He's welcome to come on and do it. Do you think it's weird we've never had someone from New Girl on the podcast? Like, should we?
We barely show up to the podcast.
That's true. Fair point.
I don't think that's – they think about it now. They'd be like 20 minutes in being like, who's Moho? Like,
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't change,
I don't want to do
know?
Any anti-Semitisms.
I'm sure Jake Johnson doesn't want to either. Anyway, the one interview I have caught so far is Jake Johnson appeared on a Mythical Kitchen show. You know I'm obsessed with Good Mythical Morning.
Good Mythical Morning, yeah.
So they have a show that massive celebrities have gone on where Mythical Chef Josh – cooks their last meal, or like the Mythical crew, and so like the two of them sit down and eat whatever the celebrity has like prearranged and said would be their last meal. And it's always like this outrageous, it's like a Philly cheesesteak from this specific place, Sunday.
But how does he cook it if it's from his place?
Well, for that particular one, that wasn't Jake Johnson, I forget who that was. Like the kitchen, like FaceTimed with the chef there.
Got it.
And they like tried to ship it, but they wouldn't be able to. So they just like talked them through exactly how to make it. Like they really do go above and beyond. The worst thing Jake Johnson did was he asked for Diet Coke, but can you not make it? Can you make it taste like Diet Coke without all the sugar and chemicals? And so they, like, made, like, a natural soda. And Jake Johnson was like, this doesn't taste at all like Coke. And he was like, well, you told us to, like, make a chemical, a beverage that is chemicals and make it not chemicals. And he was like, okay, good try.
Like, I can't believe that this YouTube show couldn't recreate, like, a $1 trillion company's drink.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool. But I do want to check out the interview Grace told me about. And when we, in advance of, if we do discuss this movie, I'll come prepped with all the... the press. But so what do we want to do? We have enough jar movies to take us through. You actually, what you proposed was like last week that instead of this episode, we just out of nowhere talk about
this movie.
Because
it was timely. Yeah, you didn't like that idea, which is fine.
Well, it's not that I didn't like the idea, because what else are we doing? Like, who cares? No parents, no rules, whatever. But okay, but like they've had other projects that have like come up. I mean, he's had other projects. He had like
but he directed
Eagle
it, I think, was like the was maybe the slight difference.
Who cares about that?
I guess.
I think he wrote Ride the Eagle too. Like it's like he wasn't just starring in it, it was like his movie. Co-wrote it with the director.
Well, do you have a better idea what we could watch in 2 weeks?
Well, we have these movies in the jar and we've already done All In. Like I'd be open to, if he were still in the jar, I'd be open to taking him out and putting All In. And you want me to go get the jar really quick and see what's in there?
Yeah, you can get the jar.
Okay. Talk about how betrayed I am until I get back.
Betrayed. Everyone could hear that I'm sick, right? The other week, Alex,
I can hear you scoff and say, betrayed. You jerk.
Can you hear me being sick?
Yeah, you sound disgusting.
Thank you. Thank you for the validation.
Okay, we have three movies left because we have planned for like in between seasons 5 and 6, in between 6 and 7, and then one to end it all. So we still have Max Greenfield's movie, They Came Together, which I think we've all been looking forward to that movie.
Yeah.
We have Lamorne Morris, Desperado, which also stars Nassim Pedrad. That's her name,
okay.
Right?
Yes.
So I feel like that can't come out. And then, and Lamorne has had another project, which we did not discuss
since
we started this. Oh, you know what? The last one is just Kelly's Choice. So maybe we didn't intend to, that makes sense. We didn't intend to end on a movie.
Yeah.
So I guess the options are we sub out a Jake Johnson movie. We do two movies at some point. Or you know what we could do? We could add it to the jar. And before the finale, before like the season 7 series finale, we could do one last jar for whatever
we could clear out the jar if we have a movie or two, yeah.
Well, we'll only have one. Cause it's,
well, who
it's
knows?
Not like
maybe
if
he'll direct another movie next year.
Well, this isn't like Renap style. Like we know what we're doing.
Okay. We have a hard end date.
No. I have a slip of paper that says not safe, which is a relic from the Fantasy Football 32 Fan Survivor days when we had to when I had to pull a whatever. It is a jar-sized slip of paper.
Did you make it to the end for that league?
Did I make it to the end?
Yeah.
You know the answer to that.
You did, right?
No, I quit. I rage quit. Said you all suck and had Beat do it. I mean, I didn't say it like that. I bowed out very kindly, but that was my internal monologue.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Frankly, to be just honest, it outgrew me. Like, it got way too serious in, like, a good way, and they just needed somebody who
was following
did
it.
Everything better. Mm-hmm. I was following it. It was just, like, they were crazy in a good way. Good for them. All right. What's the name of this new movie?
All In? No, that's the old one.
No. No.
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, I'm on Wikipedia, and it's called Self-Reliance.
Self-Reliance.
Something you don't know a lot about. The energy of this podcast has just been completely sucked out of the room. Talk about not safe. I'm not safe. And I'm leaving Kelly's Choice in there because that's, if anything, this just adds more intrigue to Kelly's Choice. All right. Let me return the jar. You riff. Wake up.
Who spam emails you the most? That's what I want the listeners to tell me. I think the group that spam emails me the most is the New York Mets. There are some, like, software as a service companies that, like, I never signed up for that'll email me a lot. But, like, all right, that's their job. The Mets email me nonstop. Like, hey, it's sunny today. Do you want to buy tickets? And then I got, like, actual messages from someone in the Mets, like, do I have the wrong email address? Because you never respond. That's literally what I got from a person who works for the Mets.
They asked I have if a better one.
Yeah?
The law firm that Av works for. I don't know why I get emails directly from them to my personal email.
Oh, I have an email, like, from them right now. And it's crazy.
Oh, it's linked. It's via LinkedIn. Is it because we're just connected with him?
Maybe because I really am able to filter out most spam. But it did come through just now also. That's funny.
But no, because my LinkedIn connection is through, like, my undergrad email, I think. So
you get to keep your undergrad email forever?
No, and that's, like, why it's, like, I can't get into LinkedIn if I want to. Oh.
Yeah, we never, I mean, I'm old enough. I think now people can, right? They get the permanent email address or no?
Yeah, I think I missed an email. I got, like, a bunch of emails, at least from Michigan, being, like, if you want to keep this, you have to, like, we're migrating. And I was, like, this is annoying. And then I lost access. I was, like, oh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, mine shut off, like, the day after college. I still had, like, a final two.
That's funny. All right.
In college, this is probably not an interesting story, but I'll tell it. I had a final, and it was on the internal computer system. I'm old. Like, it was, I don't know why, but I just wrote it on, like, a college computer, but it wasn't in my email or in, like, a file that you could access outside the college computers in 2006 or whatever. And I had to send it to a professor who was due on Friday, and the building with the computers were closed, like, Erev Shabbat. It was already the summer. And I basically had to explain this and, like, beg the security guard to open up the computer room for me for, like, 30 seconds just so I could email myself the paper and pass the class. And luckily he was kind and let me do it. He opened up a 20-story building for me, though. I was begging.
It's so unfair, Keeve, and not that saying this story would come into this category, but you don't know this, but I have just a beautiful benefit of being able to edit out every uninteresting story that I tell.
Oh, what so the hell? Is that not making it?
No, I don't edit you out.
Times. I'm going to reference
I don't
it
edit you
times.
Out at all unless mm-hmm. you ask me to, which you never do. But if you were mm-hmm. like, actually edit that out, I would. I'm not trying to trap you. But, like, last week you told your interesting story, and then I told two very uninteresting stories, and I cut them, and then Allie from the editing room in yada, 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 I told a boring story about my nephew, yada, 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 I made butter. Like, and I cut out, like, 20 minutes mm-hmm. of me talking.
But you said you were going to cut. I said, don't cut it.
Yeah, well... You didn't win.
Should we get to the episode for a minute? Because I am falling apart here also.
Yeah, one special thing I did do was I did hit you with the George Costanza, you think I'm cheap, after the story about you mm-hmm. penny pinching at the steakhouse. Yeah, please get to the digest. Turn this around, Keeve.
Okay, so Schmidt's dad is back, and Nick is really telling him to be careful about what's going on. Meanwhile, Jess has real competition for Sam from a new person in town named Diane. pretty much it.
I really like this episode. We were having a little bit of a discussion in the NGOG chat about how this is New Girl's been on a good run.
Yeah, this is a good episode. I don't know. Do you think it's intentional that they named these characters Sam and Diane?
Somebody asked that, Matt or Kelly asked that.
Gotta be, right?
What's the hook? Like,
there's no hook.
Maybe somebody was just like, how about Diane? Like, fun. But it's not like some deeper meaning.
Mm-mm. It just cheers.
Like the, what was the movie? The name of the episode where it was like Nick and Jess and someone. And that was like referential to like a movie or
a 70s movie. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This, I don't think like was supposed to have any.
No, it's not a cheers thing.
It. Yeah.
Although it is in a bar also. So maybe that's part of it. It's taking place in a bar.
Yeah, but like, spoiler alert, that party looked lame as hell.
Yes.
Honestly, every event they do at that bar looks bad to me. Except
it's a bad
like
bar.
Here, where
it's like
always his
sunny.
Birthday. Does Sam? Maybe Sam doesn't have any friends because he went through that point in his life where he just like grew that big beard and like did all of that like namaste stuff, and now is like coming out of that. So, aside from a couple coworkers, maybe he's like kind of lost his.
Do doctors lose
group?
Their friends when they're in like school for 10 years working crazy hours? Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, maybe, but even then you'd think you'd have friends from work. He had, like,
right.
a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why this is a reference, but I wanted to talk to you about giving cash for Secret Santa. I think that's discussed at some point. And to be honest, I watched this episode last week, but you also discussed this on Rob's Seinfeld podcast 10 years ago, but what do you think
really?
About that? Oh, because Jess tells a story about how, like, Sam gave the nurse like something for like gave cash because he like forgot a Secret Santa gift or something like that.
I was probably against it 10 years ago. I think it's only good gift if it's like a crazy amount of money. Then it's a funny gift. If you're like the rich guy there and you just give a huge gift, that's funny.
To be honest, I don't think you really had a say because I think you got confused with like what the dollar value would be. And Rob was like, no, there was a limit. And you were like,
We did spend a lot of time. I forgot about that. We spent a lot of time figuring out what things would have cost in modern times. I forgot about the part of the podcast.
But I will say I had a white elephant at my old job where one of the partners forgot to get a Secret Santa gift. So she gave double, like, I forget what the limit was. If it was $20, she gave $40 cash. And this was actually a very, very funny story where I'm going to edit out me saying that. but you like you pick a gift and then you had to guess who you thought like gave the gift and it's like work people and whatever. And so one of the associates my year opens up like a bottle of Hamptons Summer in a Bottle, like made in the Hamptons rosé. And she's like, okay, so I think it's like someone who goes to the Hamptons, Allie. And I laughed so hard, like I cackled laughing in this conference room and said, imagine. And that brought the house down because, like, half the partners have houses in the Hamptons.
Right.
And
right.
I'm just like, I'm poor. Like, whatever.
That's funny.
And then when it became my – so then someone opens up, like, the $40 cash and the partner's like, I'm sorry, like, but I gave double the gift. Like, whatever. And it comes to me and I'm one of the last people and I was, like, looking around and I was like, so I think I'm going to – steal the $40. And everyone laughed because not only am I not the Hamptons person – but I'm now going to penny pinch $40 out
funny.
Of this
that's
Secret Santa experience.
It's a good bit.
Someone ultimately stole it from me, which I thought was quite inappropriate.
That's a good bit. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Yep. Can you hear me?
I started like shaking uncontrollably.
All right. Well, do you want to just call this and pick it up whenever?
Yeah.
Okay. Feel better, Keith.
Yeah, well, we'll do another night.
Okay, feel better. Sorry about that.
Thank you. It's all right.
Kiwi, how you feeling?
I'm feeling better. I was home today, but I'm like able to work and I'm like a functioning person for the most part.
Yeah, you don't sound amazing, but you sound better than
when I pulled
last left off.
Stayed home Tuesday from work. Went in Wednesday because I had an important meeting. Was a mistake. People were like, why are you here? And then
contextualize this for the audience. So we stopped recording about a half hour into our last podcast.
Monday night,
just
right?
All listened to. Right. And Kiwi keeled over in the middle of it. I was very concerned. Like, you sounded horrible.
You would have been, if it was a video podcast, you would have, like, called the police. I'm not even joking.
I considered it, frankly, for
me. Well, because, let me tell you what happened. So, I'm like, why did we take a break?
I needed to do something. So, I said,
you
needed
to do something.
Second.
So, I'm like, all right, I'm
going to
run
me
and pee.
Too,
and
then
to, like,
you muted.
Yeah, yeah. So, then I mute the mic. I don't need to, like, pee on camera, you know? And then...
Were you going to pee?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, but there's, like, a bathroom in my room.
Okay.
And then... And I come back, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna... I'm like, you know what? I'm, like, not feeling that great, but this is probably, like, halfway done, right? How many minutes did we record?
We recorded, like, 25 minutes and did not discuss the episode for more than 1 minute.
So I don't know. So. Maybe it's not halfway done. Who knows? But so I come back and I was like, I'm like really not doing great. Like, I don't know what happened in the last minute, but I'm like doing much worse. And then I start like shivering. I'm like, oh, it's really cold in here. And it happened to be the heat wasn't on, but like it really cold. And then I'm like, I really start like shaking. And by the time I got back, I was recording from my bed. By the time I got back, I like couldn't pick up the mic anymore. I was shaking so much.
Yeah, so
and then
I
started like talking,
it.
But I forgot I had muted, so I was like talking to you for a minute, not realizing. But it was like, you know, teeth chattering, and like it would have sounded insane. And we don't see, for people don't know, we don't see each other when we record, because it's just an audio thing.
And yeah, so I just muted. I mean, I just listened back to it, and I'll leave in Kiwi coming back to the mic if it's of interest to people. But you sound terrible, and there is a beginning part where you're talking, and it's not because you're muted. You're just not into the mic. And now that I know what you said on the re-listen, I could hear you saying like, "I'm uncontrollably shivering," but it's so quiet and so sad. I was worried.
Yeah, So it was. I would have been more nervous, but it's happened to me like 3 or 4 times in my life, and I don't know why, but I guess it, like, and I rarely get sick. I still have not taken a sick day in 15 years at work, because I did work these last few days. But, yeah, it was so weird because I'm like, freezing and uncontrollably shaking, and then I couldn't move my hands, even to shut off, to try and click unmute. Was taking me like 30 seconds of like shaking and trying, and I was like, "Oh, this is bad." It's like I have to call for help to unmute the computer, basically.
It's funny because you stayed on a little bit longer, at least on my end. Like what we use, I can see when you stop recording.
Yeah, because I physically couldn't stop it. Also, I wanted to make sure we were recorded in my like knowing I was gonna, you know, like basically pass out a minute later, like just try and go to sleep or something.
But I could hear you breathing. But I didn't see you stop recording. And I was like, you know what? This is an invasion. If we lose it, we lose it. And I just, like, closed out. I was like,
you should have been like, if we lose him, we lose him. Like,
no, no. I was like, if we lose the podcast, we lose the podcast. But I'm not going to sit here and listen to Kiwi Wheeze, you know?
Yeah, I was trying to, like, catch my breath. Because I also, like, couldn't. Like, I was joking about, like, I would have had to, like, call Mara or one of the kids or something. But, like, I definitely could not have done that, you know, at that point probably. But I also, like, knew I was fine. So I wasn't nervous. It was just, like, this is a temporary nuisance. Well,
if anyone questions your dedication to the podcast, I mean,
well, it's funny because
I tried to get through it. I was like, we don't, you know,
yeah, even
we
when
don't
I
have
sat down,
here.
I was like, oh yeah, we'll just finish and maybe I'll tell her like, let's cut it a little short. But then literally by the time I like physically sat on the bed, I was like, oh, this is not going to be possible.
Yeah. You were for sure ill. But it's good because I just listened back to all of my rage from last week and, or last time. And I did say, like, the wind had been taken out of my sails, and it did feel like an afterthought to now talk about this episode. But now we get a fresh start, and, you know, we are light years away from when we have both watched the episode, but that will not be a disappointment probably to our listeners. I did ask the NGOG chat if they wanted me to release the 25 minutes having nothing to do with the episode separately.
Mm-hmm.
But
what did they say?
I ended up waiting. I think they said, like, yeah, release it, but then I would have felt more pressure to edit around the intro and whatever. I think this makes more sense continuity-wise to just pick up where you keeled over off.
Yeah. I don't remember if, like, because I did have some notes on the episode. I don't remember. I know we talked about Sam and Diane. I don't remember. So usually I write shorthand because I usually watch the episode, you know, hours before we record. But I don't remember. I don't understand most of my notes now because it's been 4 days.
Well, that's good. I always take notes, assuming you haven't taken notes. So I think we'll still be in a good place. Let's talk briefly about bird shirts.
Okay.
How did you feel about the bird shirt plot, right? Like, Winston gets Sam a bird shirt, which is just a shirt with birds on it, because for Sam's birthday, because one time Sam complimented Winston's shirt with birds on it.
Huh.
Master says, would you be honest about not liking the bird shirt?
No, I would probably, if it's a shirt, I would probably, as long as it's like wearable, I would say I like it. Do you think I could pull off a bird shirt? I don't have any bird shirts. My clothes are pretty much all solid.
Define pull off.
Huh, it's a good question.
Because I would ask you, do you think you pull off most of what you wear?
What the hell?
I believe the last time I saw
now
you wearing
Dr. Pepper socks. Now I'm going to be uncontrollably shaking with rage.
You were wearing like Dr. Pepper socks.
That was great. You're just a hater. Right now I'm wearing. Hold on. I'll take a picture of.
I mean, if you were a T-shirt. My phone's charging in the other room, which sounds like okay. I have more than two rooms to my name.
Well, I'll DM it here.
Okay. If you wore a shirt with a bird on it, if we were meeting up and you were wearing a shirt that had a bird on it and it was a T-shirt, I wouldn't be like, wow, that's so out of context for you. If you were like a button down with like a large bird, like one of the many bird shirts Winston gives Sam, I'd probably be like, that's not from Keeve's closet.
Listen, I honestly, 6 months of the year, I wear graphic T-shirts to work. Like, I've got a fun wardrobe. Right,
that's what I said. If it was a T-shirt, if it was a bird on a T-shirt, I'd be
yes,
like,
I agree.
It
don't have anything on any long sleeve or polo or what. Like, there's no. It's just straight solids.
If you were wearing a more Winston bird shirt, I would assume the kids got it for you as like a gift, and you had to wear it.
Yeah, although honestly, I have gotten gifts, and I'm like. Not worn them, or like, okay, this is more of a gym shirt, you know, so.
I think that this plot line solely serves to solidify or prove my theory on compliments, which, to remind the listeners, I assume I've said on this podcast, is at least 50%, but I think even higher, of compliments stem from someone disliking what they're complimenting you on. But it's so in the room, they've got to say something. So it's like, oh, Winston's wearing an ugly shirt. I like that shirt because I've got to say something about the shirt. It's like if someone gets a bad haircut and you see them, you'll probably be like, oh, did you get your haircut? I like it. You're gonna mention it because your attention's been brought to it, but you're not going to say, oh, I'm noticing it because it's hideous. Anytime you take a long pause, Keeve, I'm going to think you're dead. Oh, you are dead. You left. That's so funny. Should I just do that alone? You know, here's the thing. If we used some free service, I wouldn't care when it doesn't work. But we pay for this recording software.
Yeah. Not exactly an ad.
And by we pay, I mean it's paid for by someone on the podcast.
Huh. Not exactly an ad for. Well, you should send me a bill for TriCast.
Nah. All right. Well, I mean, I didn't hear anything if you were saying something about the compliments thing, but we can also just move on. Keevy's choice.
I did. Here, I sent you a picture of my sock because it's very relevant to the.
On Twitter.
Yeah, via Twitter. Now. Really, I probably shouldn't be sending.
Oh, I like the socks.
Strange women feet pics.
Am I a strange woman? That's mean.
I mean, just any women, I guess. Like,
I feel like I'm like I don't have a perceived gender by you. You know, I'm just.
I would agree. That's true. But, yeah, I send because it's a banana sock. It's like a blue sock with a lot of bananas on it.
It's funny, my nephew has a onesie that's like this exact print, but a little brighter. Nice. I like those. I wouldn't have read you for those. Well, you're wearing them with pants, which I think is the right move. I think if you were wearing these sticking out of your sneakers with shorts,
well,
maybe I would say something.
It's the coldest day of the year here, but now I sent it to you to ask the question. On June 1st, can I get away with wearing those socks with my, you know, orange or khaki shorts and a t-shirt? Or you think
well,
I can't pull that off?
Again, what's getting away with it? Like, you're a man who wears what he wears. You've got five kids. Like, yeah, what do you care? Do you get, when you get dressed, are you hoping people say, wow, Akiva looks great in that look?
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Luke's, as Rob would say?
No. I don't think it's going to happen. Is Rob been saying Luke's?
What?
Has he been saying Luke's, Rob?
I feel like a couple of times he said that. I mean, I'm probably referencing like 10 years ago, but like,
oh,
be careful. I'll quote you as long as I remember. But those socks are meant to like peek out a little ankle from like, you know how men start wearing like quirky like dress socks?
Yeah.
Those are not to pop off your sneakers with your khaki or gym shorts.
I will say the socks in this country barely pop out of shoes. Means
I would like, say socks in America also.
That's yeah.
Pop out
I mean, usually
shoes.
Fashion. Yeah, I assume the fashion trend probably started there and came here. But like, yeah, I'd say people who are even mildly fashionable, like you think they're not wearing socks because their socks are so low, and maybe some of them aren't. But like, you're not seeing any sock really.
Well, that has become a trend with like men's dress wear. Shout out to the Gen Z girlies who I don't often shout out, but shout out to them for bringing socks back. While men's socks have lowered, women's socks, like the athletic, white athletic socks popping
yeah.
out or even like ruffly socks are back. Uh-huh. And that's a great relief to me because I was like a sockless person for a while in my naive late teens, early 20s. That was never a trend, but I just like I couldn't get with the like no-show socks that like fall off in the back or they stick out of my loafer. So shout out to the Gen Z girl for bringing socks back. I appreciate you. Do you think any Gen Z people listen to this podcast? We're too old.
Gen Z? Yeah, I'd say at least a few.
Mm. All right, well, shout out
to
you.
Can I give you a conspiracy theory?
Depends. How much harm would this cause a group of people? Like, yeah, give it laid on.
Yesterday, okay, no, it's. I mean, are tight ends a protected class of people?
Depends. Are we talking about Travi K?
It's not Travi K, actually. No. Guy on the team that Travi K just beat, Mark Andrews. Okay.
Sure.
So he let's. This is an interesting. Listen, I don't really believe in any conspiracy theories, even things that are probably like. Were once considered conspiracy theories that are, like, proven fact I still think are fake. Or, like, I don't think there's aliens, even though I think people say, like, there's for sure aliens. But to me, this is fishy. I'll tell you why. Mark Andrews. So he's one of the best tight ends in the league. Had a really tough year because he got hurt. He came back the last game. Didn't really do anything. Yesterday, I like the New York Post. I'm a New York Post guy. There's an article, and it's like, Mark Andrews' girlfriend posts a heartfelt note after losing the ACFA championship game. It says sorority girlfriend. So you click on the article. His girlfriend, he's like an NFL veteran, is in college. And it says, like, Yates sent a TikTok ahead of her sorority's winter formal. So that's, like, a little weird to me, right?
How, when you say NFL veteran, I mean, you can go to the NFL at 18, can't you?
Right,
like,
yeah,
what
he's 28. She just turned 21. She's in college. He is like, you know, it's not a huge gap in this. If, you know, 20 years from now, the 7-year gap is like not so interesting. But in college, you're like a multi-zillionaire. It's a little weird.
I don't think it's uncommon. I think it's uncommon for them to be like identified in the press as girlfriend. Like from what I hear from Alex Earl's like TikTok, like all the Miami girlies are dating like professional athletes all the time while they're in college.
Right.
But to be like,
but there's also a difference between
as girlfriend.
Yes, girlfriend and just like meeting someone at a bar or something like that.
Yeah,
like making it to Instagram official.
It's so interesting because even, like, I think Alex Earl, who's dating Braxton Berrios, who is on the Dolphins, I don't know what
former
Jet. He
and
plays.
He's a wide receiver/kick returner, but he used to date Braxton Berrios, I think, Someone really
Coppola.
Famous. Yes. Well, Culpa. Not Coppola. Not Francis Ford Coppola. He did not.
No, it's his daughter, right? Sophia Coppola
No,
or something?
It's Culpa. No, she's an Instagram person. First of all, Francis Ford Coppola's daughter. Oh, no. This is hilarious. Actually, I didn't realize what you were saying. No, Sophia Coppola's like a famous director who's probably like 50 years old.
Yeah, wait.
Now.
No, but I thought it was still. That's so
no,
funny.
No, that's like Olivia Culpa, who's like. Oh, we got to.
In my brain, this was like the director's granddaughter. Or like Sophia
That's
Coppola's
Francesca. No,
daughter.
She's like known now because she does TikToks with him. By the way, this is a person who doesn't have TikTok and has never seen a TikTok, basically. But she.
No, I thought Martin Scorsese's doing TikTok.
Ah, that's
with his
Scorsese. You're right. That's not
all right.
Coppola.
At least I knew.
You're right.
All
right. So we're both boomers tonight. But
goodbye
yeah.
to the three Gen Z listeners that were once listening.
You mixed up Sophia Coppola and Olivia Culpa.
I didn't. Okay, Sophia, but her name is No, it's not Olivia. It's Sophia Coppo.
Oh, there's two Culpa sisters.
There's two.
The other one
they're Culpi.
Yeah.
It's Sophia Coppo, who is less famous than Olivia Coppo. And so when I'm seeing this on TikTok, I've just assumed it's like Sophia Coppola. She's the one with the wine, I think. Like the Coppa.
Who's the
like
who's the most famous
the
one? Olivia?
Filmmaking
Olivia
Coppola's.
Olivia's engaged to Christian McCaffrey, who's like, you know, a legitimate
I'm aware of Christian McCaffrey because of the 32 Fan Survivor Fantasy League. He was a big deal because somebody traded under the assumption they would be trading back and then refused to and screwed the other person.
So that happened in the league I'm in?
You weren't in it at the time.
Oh, you mean this was years ago?
No, you had already been voted out.
I thought you meant in the RHAP league. I'm like, oh, that's not allowed.
Yes,
but
I have extreme visibility on that league run by Brian.
Yeah, no, okay, fine. I didn't so someone did that? Someone didn't trade back? I didn't know that
Correct.
That happened. Ooh,
okay, let's go back for a second. This is fun. Yeah. I'll keep it in, even though it's embarrassing. So Braxton is 28 and Alex Earl is 22. And even that, it's like, it's not the age. I agree with you that later in life it's whatever. But there is a stage of life. Now, maybe Alex Earl jumps ahead of that because she's like more famous than Braxton Berrios and mm-hmm. like whatever. But there is a stage of life difference in 21, not famous, college girly, and 28-year-old NFL professional athlete.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. So what's the conspiracy?
So then here's what happens today, okay? I'm glad you asked. A guy tweets, today, a woman on my Southwest flight from Baltimore to Phoenix this morning had mid-flight medical emergency, doctor and nurse attending to her, couldn't find a pulse, blood pressure low, heart oxygen, it was genuinely scary. Man in the aisle popped up, could it be a blood sugar? I have a diabetic testing kit. It was Ravens tight end Mark Andrews. Andrews instructed the medical professionals, equal citizen heroes in this story, on using his test kit. Eventually, her heart rate stabilized. Paramedics met the flight as soon as we landed. Andrews deplaned quietly, no fanfares. He's done his whole career. He stepped in a huge moment when people needed him most. Watching complete strangers spring into action to help someone save his life is truly amazing. Now, way to get your name in the news for something really good. A day after maybe you had an uncomfortable, and maybe it wasn't uncomfortable, I don't know, but it is interesting, like followed interesting
so
press.
So sorry,
with
was
very
he
good
getting
press.
Bad press, or you just feel like there was implied
I don't
bad
know,
press?
I just saw the article, I didn't see any follow-up, but it
of
is interesting.
Though.
Yeah, like, of the girlfriend.
Couldn't he just tell the girlfriend, like, don't post about me? Like, I feel like if he, you'd really be able to get ahead of any implied bad press or assumed bad press. Part of why we're saying professional athletes date college girls all the time, they're just not, like, known in the press as
right.
their girlfriend.
It's just interesting because he's a pretty well-known player, but he's not a player who's ever in the news, and then now he's in the news 2 days in a row.
I mean, mom and pop's plan was to fake a medical emergency and have a fake doctor and fake nurse jump up and say, I'm the doctor and I'm the nurse, and then he was...
No,
I mean,
it's not fake.
Like, why...
I don't know. Is he diabetic? It's not. I'm not saying it's a fake plan. Obviously, it really happened. I'm just saying.
If he's not diabetic, I'm willing to keep listening to this, right? Because then it's like, well, why on earth would he have that test kit?
No, he's type 1 diabetic, yeah.
So, come on.
No, I'm not saying it's fake. It's a real story, and he's a hero. I'm just saying, you know, it's weird timing that these things happened the day 2 days, you know, back to back.
Well, isn't that what people say, like, manifesting is, or vision boards and how they work, is that, like, when you've seen something, you're more likely to see it again in the world. It's like, if, like, your brain is trained to look at it, like, is it because you've read this article that now you've noticed this?
Right, it's a a word you've never heard before, and then you hear it, and then you see it three more times, or a place, or something like that, or a name.
Right. For so, sure. Like, people put something on their vision board, and then they see it, and they're like, "I manifested this." It's like, yeah, you're more likely to see it. So now you've read an article, and now you're seeing a guy you normally don't pay attention to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I pay attention to everybody in the NFL. It's like, that's what I do. But I don't know who Alex Earl is, by the way.
She's like an Instagram girly du jour. You'll be fine.
Do you know Bobby Altoff?
Yes.
Do you like
her?
Talk
about conspiracy.
What's the conspiracy? That she's an industry plant?
Yeah.
I think I like her.
I think you'd like her.
No, I just watched her one with Rainn Wilson. And usually I click on something, like it was suggested to me on YouTube, and I won't make it more than 10 seconds watching something. I watched like the whole thing.
I mean, it's like a Zach Galifianakis-y, like,
yeah, that's what it is.
Z-way, like, diet Z-way, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't love it, but I support, you know, like, I understand why people like her.
Yeah,
I don't love to be uncomfortable. Like, I'm a bigger fan of Z-way's work than hers, but, like, I don't generally love to be, like, just awkward for awkward's sake. Like, I liked Between Two Ferns, but I didn't, like, watch every episode, you know?
Right, I hear you.
Okay, wait, I wanted to ask you something. Oh, speaking of tight ends, Kiwi, you said on Renap, What Women Want, that you submitted the question, Jason or Travis Kelce? Then I thought, well, maybe he had thought of it independently. But then later you said a lot of people submitted this question and then said another question. So... Which
no,
is
I don't
it?
Think I said submitted it, because that was your question. I mean,
you said you submitted it, or it was your question.
No, it came from you. No, I believe what I said actually was, or what I was implying was that I wrote the words. That's what I meant, because there were three or four questions that a lot of women complained about were unclear. And that was number one, because... I didn't say who's better looking. I didn't say who.
But that's
the
point. That's the question. You don't need to take the fall for that. I'll take the fall for it. It's Jason or Travis. That's the question. You imply what you want to imply. For like, you pick based on your criteria.
Which I agree. That's why I did
that question.
But I think I was just defending it, and that's what I said. Not that it was my idea, even though a lot of people did write in with that exact question, or this person versus that person was very common. That was the only one we used.
My idea was more just that men think some things are attractive. Like, again, I wrote my feedback on your forum was it was extremely hetero. So working within that constraint, like, what men think is attractive to women and what women think is attractive to men is completely, like, scientifically proven as completely wrong.
For sure.
So I gave you a couple of pairings where I think there's, like, a default male choice that you and Rob would have picked. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Jason did way better than you would have expected and blah, blah, blah. So I had, like, a series. I understand why you only pulled the one.
Yeah, I learned that. Listen, I don't know a lot about women, and I really grew up mostly with guys. I think I learned that when I was, like, in camp one summer, and, like, a bunch of women were talking about some girl, and they were like, oh, yeah, she has, like, the most beautiful eyes in the world. I was like, I didn't even know she had eyes. And
well,
I was like, oh,
I think eyes is tough because I do think people look at eyes. But it also, then, you know, Taylor Swift transcends the whole concept with her, you know, I don't dress for women, I don't dress for men. Because that's the whole thing is, like, women who dress for women.
Who does she dress for? Herself?
Lately, she's been dressing for revenge. I'm not even a Swiftie, and I know that lyric.
She's dressing for revenge.
You don't know that song?
I guess now that you say
it. You listen
it,
to every album.
It's true. I guess, but I don't memorize every album. In fact, listening to every album means that the lyrics, you know, kind of in one ear out the other.
Should we check back in on the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce of it all now that we're going to the Super Bowl?
What can you tell me? Yeah, can you tell me who your choice would be, Jason or Travis?
Oh, I'm a Jason girly, and
yeah.
You should know
that. Oh, you
that.
Told me that. Oh, you did tell me that. Sorry. Listen, I'm playing hurt here.
No, I love Travis.
Did you
too.
Watch,
like,
his speech?
I love both of them. Excuse me?
Did you watch Jason Kelce's speech that I told you about?
I watched the speech. I thought you were going to ask me about the documentary. I've not yet watched the documentary.
But what do you think of the post-Super Bowl speech?
Well, you sent it to me, and the energy was great, and I love him, and he had great, hilarious energy. But a lot of it was pretty inside Eagles.
I hear you. But it was
not for me.
Right, yeah, but you don't get, like, a lot of the players, like, I think a lot of people wouldn't get it. And also, it was old, so you'd forget. But, like, it's just basically what they're saying about them. You know, like, this guy's too fat, too slow. Like, you don't really have to know the players that well.
Yeah, I liked it.
But
otherwise.
It's, like, very WWE, right? Like, the whole thing was like a wrestling promo.
Well, even, like, Travis says, you got to fight for your right to party. Or I've been watching a lot of the, like, locker room, like, we're not done. I said we're not done. Like, how about those Chiefs? Like, whatever. Like, honestly, I'm just so happy the athlete is back. Like, all the girlies who are dating the athletes, like, I just mentioned, like, Braxton, like, why should I even know who Braxton Berrios is, you know? Like, there's that wife of the 49ers player who's, like, making all of these, like, puffer coats out of jerseys.
Yeah,
and, like, the girlies are coming, Simone Biles, like, the girlies are showing up to football. The jocks are back, and it's so fun to watch these jocks be jocks. Like, I haven't been around, like, athletes like this since I was in high school. I did gymnastics, mm-hmm. and then obviously,
yeah.
like, fraternize with the athletes. Like, it's fun. It's a fun
energy.
You went
from athletes to Moe dads.
I wouldn't say I fraternize with the Moe dads, but I do. But, like, I, you know, it's a fun energy.
Well, I think a lot of the Taylor
You guys
Swift
don't
stuff,
have that different of an energy. It's like the fantasy football guys who are like, we got to win today. We got to win. Like, you're taking as much ownership of the jock energy as anybody else.
The Taylor Swift thing, I think, also is like her boyfriends were so like, especially the British guy whose name I don't even remember, the last guy, is like such a nothing. Like, from, first of all, like, as an American, right? It's like, no, why is she dating a British person? Like, she's an American sort of icon that should be dating an American person. And then it's like this sort of like irrelevant actor, and then you don't hear about them, and it's like, this does nothing for anybody. Like, that's why probably the fans hated them. And then it's like, oh, this is a person who's like more outgoing than she is, and so it's exciting.
It's very exciting. I'm going to be upset if they break up. I want this to go all the way. I'm excited for the off-season Travis Taylor stuff. And we're going to the Super Bowl. Kelly, a shout out to producer Kelly.
I once had a theory that you're a Nepo baby if your parent has a Wikipedia page. Remember that theory?
Yeah,
on this podcast. So I just went to Taylor Swift's wiki because I was trying to figure out the ex-boyfriend's name, but I got distracted. Her grandma has a wiki page. She was like a singer. Now, maybe she wouldn't have had it if, you know, because ultimately it's
right, reverse Nepo baby.
Maybe, but she was on TV. But then her great-great-grandfather was like, an old school, like 1900, like Philadelphia magnate. And like all of his relatives have wiki pages. It's like, all right.
I mean, I think it's possible to come from privilege that makes it easier to become famous and not qualify as like a Nepo baby in Hollywood. Like, I don't think she became a famous singer because of her grandmother's musical connections.
No, but possibly talent.
Well, I mean, genetic talent.
Yeah.
We can't fault people for. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know that hasn't
crossed
my desk.
No, for sure.
Yet.
No, absolutely. For sure.
I'm willing to consider it, but. Well, that the Philadelphia stuff is what makes it even it's so funny. Like, the picture of her and Andy Reid pointing at each other is an excellent picture. I'd like to frame that. If I was an actual Chiefs fan, I probably would. It's like such a great or a Taylor Swift fan, frankly. I'm just a fan of the hoopla more than any of the actual parties. But the fact that she comes from a family of like diehard Eagles fans makes the whole thing even more round. It adds a roundness to the whole thing. All right.
Are you more like, do you know people who are more likely to watch a Super Bowl just because of the Swift thing?
I don't know people who don't watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, that's good. You shouldn't associate with people like that.
Well, like, at least, like, you put it on. You want to watch Usher.
No, I'm not saying, like, you need to pass a test after the game.
Do you know what I liked that I saw? Oh, and also, I'll say this. It's much easier to, if all you care about is seeing Taylor Swift at the game or the energy around it, much easier to consume that on TikTok than it is to, like, watch a four-hour game.
For sure.
For 20 seconds.
Absolutely.
Like, I didn't watch the Ravens Chiefs game, and like I saw everything I needed to see about it in that.
Yeah,
you
will see every, even if you're just on Twitter, you'll see every sort of time she's cut to. Now, also, she's like wising up. I do wonder if she'll like, I don't know, like
wising up.
So like I, because she clearly wasn't thrilled with the camera being on her for so long when she was like watching the TV in the booth last time. So maybe she'll like be in the back.
I thought I heard a total that she was like only actually on camera for 45 seconds.
It's true, but there was like a way too long cut of her where like the director wasn't going away from her because she was watching herself be on camera, and it was like got awkward for a second. So then she, I think, mouthed like, "All right, cut this off."
I was gonna ask you one more thing about it, but now I forget.
What about the television show New Girl? We should talk about that.
No,
for
no,
a few
wait.
Minutes.
There was something I wanted to ask, and I forget. It was important. Okay, whatever. Yeah, let's talk. Okay, because this Diane dynamic, basically, Diane is going to come, played by Caitlin Fitzgerald. Do you know Diane? I don't know Diane.
I looked her up a lot. No, I don't know her.
All right, so she's an old friend from medical school. We get a great line of just being like, he's never mentioned her. You absolutely have to roll out a close female friend in a relationship.
What do you mean,
like,
roll out?
You do not want to be in a situation where someone you still consider a good friend. Now, maybe there's a gray area because he hasn't seen her in a while.
Uh-huh.
But, like, if you have a very, very close friend from medical school,
mm-hmm.
and presumably you're in a relationship and you've talked about your time in medical school and you failed to mention a female friend, uh-huh. it raises suspicion for
are
why
you,
she
are
has
you
not
Are you speaking
come up.
From experience here? Because you're speaking very confidently.
Well, I have a lot of male friends. I had a lot more when I was
but
in college.
But this is different.
You know,
you're saying a guy has to be open about
but
female
I'm,
friends.
But I'm just saying, like, I have, but I've had to roll out male friends.
Got it, but.
So it's like, and then I've had a lot of experience meeting guy friends, girlfriends, and being like, you know, there's a dance that has to be done that's like, we're just friends.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't say that. It's just you have to show it. You have to immediately be confident.
You should say it immediately. That should be your thing. Hi,
hey,
we're just friends.
We're just friends. No, but it's like you've got to embrace her as the friend, like almost what Diane does with Jess. Like uh-huh. that was good from Diane.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think if there's somebody extremely important in your life, like if I was dating somebody and I talked about everything in my life and Brian had never come up. That's weird. You talk about podcasting. You never mentioned you do that with some guy. You know, it's like, oh, no, uh-huh. he's married or friends with what? Whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like that person would not, your best friend from medical school would come up in a relationship. So when she enters, a red flag goes up. Why have I not heard about you? Do you disagree?
No, I agree with what you're saying. I agree. I think.
Go ahead, please.
I think it's suspicious, but I do think here it's more understandable. Like, he doesn't think about her ultimately, right? Like,
yeah, I think that's
friend.
The later reveal is like it's one of two reasons. It's either he doesn't care about her anymore and they're not really friends, so she wasn't relevant to bring up, or it's like he's purposely trying to not bring her up to avoid like a thing that wouldn't that like exists, you know? Like, but even still, even when she's not relevant, it's still like. I talk about friends from home who I'm not friends with anymore, but if I went to, you know, or friends from law school who I don't talk to anymore, you know, like, people come up. It's like, oh, one of my best friends at the time, but da 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 da. I don't know. I'm out here keyed up. Well, we just talked about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, which excites me, so I need
mm-hmm.
to
okay.
take it down. Neve says, Diane really confused me for the whole episode because of how much she looked like Uma Thurman. Are there any other actors that could moonlight as doppelgangers for Stars of the Past? Do you agree that there's a lookalike here?
Yeah, I'm face blind.
Oh, fair.
I don't really know.
It didn't distract me, but I see it. If that's helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, but she has a look like I did. When I saw her, I thought I recognized her. From something, and then I don't think I did from looking at her wiki page.
Meanwhile, Jess, I do think, handles this wrong by going to quote pee on Sam, and like that's a very cringe moment, right? Where she's like, and then we had sex, and then like is like making out with him, like that's cringe.
Yeah, very cringe, but that's Jess.
Big ick.
Yes.
Do you know how I have a fear of choking? Has that come up?
I don't know if you've ever said that.
So, like, my mom has a fear of choking, and part of it is because I choked at two, like, begging her for some, like, Jolly Rancher, like, hard candy, and so she was holding it and let me, like, lick it, and I, like, took it down and choked, and my family friend had to, like, pull it out of my throat. Like, that was a gross story. Sorry, everyone. But, like, I choked as a baby and gave my mom, like, a fear about it. So then she, in turn, gave me the fear back. So, like, I wasn't allowed to have hard candy until I was, like, in middle school. And even then, I don't think I was allowed. I just did it without her knowing. So I've got a real thing on choking. I hated watching this scene with Jess.
Interesting. Are there foods that you're...
Should I cut this out?
No. Are there foods that you're not willing to eat because of the choking thing?
Well, I can't swallow pills.
What do you do with water? Or what do you do?
I don't take pills. I have to get, like, suspensions in liquid if I need medication, or I, like, crush up an Advil.
Why?
Because I'm choking. Like, I just don't. I can't swallow pills.
But it's psychological.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure I physically. Right. A doctor has not said I have some narrow, like, Sutton Strack on Housewives,
like,
of Beverly
if
Hills.
I said I right have, like, now, you, I'll give you $1 million if you swallow a pill. You could swallow a pill, I think.
How big's the pill? Occasionally, I have swallowed an Advil. I get, this is kind of sad.
Well, Advil's,
but I kind
really
of get
small.
Tough. I tell myself, like, my dad had to do it, I could do it, but it doesn't always work. Like, once in a while, I've been able to swallow an Advil successfully.
No, so I'd say an average pill size, but not Advil.
Like a liquid gel.
Tiny. I mean, I don't take a lot of pills, so I don't.
Well, like, who are you talking to me then about?
Well,
pills?
I don't not take them because I can't swallow them. I just usually am not sick, and if I'm sick, I sort of just ignore it till it goes away.
I don't think Advil's as small as you think it is, because I've seen, like, my grandma's pills, and she's got some big.
No,
daddies,
I'm talking
but...
about, like, I'll say, like, a medium size, like the hot dog shaped pills that are.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, a liquid gel or like a.
Yeah, yeah. You don't think for $1 million?
I've never
could do
done that, and that would take me. I don't know. How long would I have to get it down for the $1 million?
Even with, like, water.
I don't know.
I mean, honestly, I think if
you,
like,
even with water, of course with water, I could do it dry. Never. That's like what old people
this
do.
Is,
my
it's
grandma
funny
could
because
swallow,
it's,
like, five.
It's, I understand why you have it, but it's not really so in character with the rest of, like, your, you know, sort of being.
Because you think I'm brave?
Yeah.
Well, I don't, like, drive. I'm afraid to drive.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, no. I mean, I
have
guess,
a lot
yeah
of anxiety.
I guess you're a woman of contradictions. That's true.
I mean,
you
I think
you
told me that
about... Do you go on scary roller coasters or no?
Oh, definitely afraid of roller coasters.
Yeah, okay. So you are a little wimpy. Fine.
I'm a huge wimp. I think what's interesting is because... well, let's put it this way. I think I am not afraid to do things that would make you afraid.
What? Like conflict with other people?
Yelling at someone.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid of basic life skills.
Right. Yeah.
Which we share.
Yes, that's true. All true.
All right. So Jess and Diane get along. What do you think of this whole Diane thing? So just to remind you, right? Like, Diane takes her to the bathroom and they make up and they're like, we really like each other. And I was worried you'd feel this way. I was worried you were in love with him, whatever. And Diane is like, no, I am in love with Sam, and tells Jess that she confessed her love to Sam in a letter, never heard back from him. They acted like nothing happened. And then only recently has that letter somehow now been returned to her. Note the return to sender name of the episode. Sam never got it, and she came here to give it to him, but now that she's met Jess, she's not going to. Kind of a big reveal, even for a women's bathroom.
Yes, this is, and it's funny, like, Jess saying I'm rooting for you also, honestly, is like, she's thinking, it's a really smart line because she's thinking like the audience is thinking, right? Like, oh, how could we even root for Jess in this situation? And I bet that happened in the writer's room, and Jess is throwing, like, I think I'm rooting for you, basically.
Yeah, because it's basically Jess finds herself in one of the most romantic, beautiful stories, and usually the sitcom or the movie ends with Sam and Diane together, but Jess is the other woman that normally wouldn't be a fully fleshed out character and probably would be a little bit mean. Like, and now it's like, oh shit, here are two nice, reasonable women who have a reasonable claim to like this guy who's a nice, good guy, and it's a little rough.
I mean, who are you rooting for in this situation?
So my biggest issue is, like, I kind of think it's like a mean move for Diane to like put it on Jess. Like, she even gives Jess the letter of like, I can't give it to him knowing you're in the picture. So like, here, like, it's almost like, I think it's supposed to be read as like sincere, and Diane is like laying down her sword and accepting the reality and the timing not being right. But you could just do that without telling Jess and going about your business. Like, I think putting it on Jess puts her in a position where it's like an asterisk on the relationship. Like, you knew this big secret that my best friend was in love with me and you didn't tell me, and now you stood in my way. Like, right. I think it's like a... I'm rooting for Jess, if only because I think that's a terrible thing for Diane to have done.
Yeah, it's rough for Diane. It's also very convenient that a letter gets bounced back 10 years later.
You know, yeah, that's that's, again, insane.
That's insane. But it's also... I also had a note... Jess says she loves Sam. How long has Jess been dating Sam?
We've definitely advanced in time because Sam's not been in a couple of the last episodes.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Love is strong, but I don't know. I guess they had known each other before. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they dated for a while. And like she says in the beginning of this episode, like, it's my first adult relationship. She met his dad's. Like, I could see it.
See, we only have two episodes left to the season. Usually... it's either like will they or won't they? Like, if Jess and Sam make it through the finale, I'll be shocked. Like, if Sam is endgame, I will be very... won't be stunned. I'm not spoiled on this situation at all. But, you know, I've always been saying that it's Jess and Nick. And if it's Jess and Sam, my mind will be blown.
So you think if Jess and Sam survive this finale, that's endgame?
Yes. I wouldn't
see a season 6 breakup or even over the break like they did with
Gozinho. I mean, in theory, it could be
he's gone now.
It could be episode 1, like Jerry and Jeanine Garofalo in Seinfeld, like the next season, like first scene, they just explain it away and that's it. Oh, I hate you too. But I don't know.
It's interesting. During this episode, though, with that in mind, did you think that this was going to be the end of Sam and Jess? That, like, Diane was going to...
Yes, I thought Diane was going to win this face-off. I did.
Okay, interesting. Do you think we see Diane again? Like, do you think that this could
still
be the
reason? I don't know. I think she lost the thing. I mean, it may be... If they do break up in the next two episodes, I guess there would be a logical thing that he goes back to Diane. That wouldn't be crazy, but if I had to guess, I don't think we see her again.
One thing I just want to shout out the writers for here. When CeCe's team give him the letter, it shocked me. Because I feel like CeCe would be like, that's your man. Like, who is this woman? You don't know her anything. She could tell him she had her time. Like, team Jess, team girly, team a little bit selfish. Uh-huh. And so the fact that she is like, you need to let them have their moment, floored me. But I love that they addressed it, where then she's like, well, Schmidt softened me. Now I'm really in love and I've changed. I was so blown away that they kind of like addressed that bit of character development within CeCe.
This is one of the better. Who wrote this episode? This is one of the better written episodes of the series.
You know, when we started recording last week, I had it up. But let me look. Return to Sender. This was written by... Remember when I used to just say Elizabeth Merriweather every single week because she's first billed and you were like,
yes.
Yeah, that's right. Veronica McCarthy and Joe Wengert.
Oh, I know Joe Wengert. He was like a podcast guest a lot when I was like, you know, in like earlier podcast days. And I believe he has this like a much crazier version of listening to a few albums every week that I do, which he has like an insane amount of albums and he listens to them in alphabetical order or something like that.
Oh, well, that's something.
I've never heard of the Veronica, but shout out to her. They did a nice job.
He voiced characters in 50 episodes of Big Mouth. And he has a cameo on New Girl as Panicked Man. That could have been us. I could have played Panicked Man.
Okay.
Oh, well, this is interesting. I mean, Veronica McCarthy, writing credit, assistant to the writers for 20 episodes.
Ah, she
two episodes full writing credit and one episode of Still the King. Or the T, like, that's it.
Wow.
Wow. credited with one of the best episodes of New Girl and first and last gig. All right. So then Jess brings Sam to the airport, and I liked, they kept it funny too. Like, they're getting a lot done here, but there's still laughs. Like, first I thought, again, an amazing callback to Sam's two dads when he's like, are you taking me on a trip to meet my birth mother? So again, really good continuity.
Yes.
But it made me laugh when she goes to give the letter to Diane and is like, you need to tell Sam. And then Diane goes to shut the door and Jess is like, oh no, sorry, that was really unclear. Sam's downstairs.
I wrote down another joke I really liked, lamppost repairman joke, but I didn't write down the joke, and so now I don't remember it.
So that, if I remember correctly, is about how, like, Schmidt's uncle or Nick's dad or something, like, would touch every lamppost, like, with OCD or something until he became a lamppost repairman. That was, like, the...
Got it.
Some evolution there. Or he's like, people don't change except for... That maybe in the conversation with Schmidt's dad, which is a perfect segue to take us to the B story, where Schmidt's dad is back in the loft tasting wine for the wedding. Interesting that they keep Jess and Schmidt's dad completely out of scenes together.
Huh. Yeah, I wonder if they're saving it up for something.
I also recently, and we talked about this at the beginning of this episode when we were joined last, when we were joined, when we spoke before, but Jake Johnson's been on this press tour, and I said I watched him on Mythical Kitchen, and like, I learned a lot about Jake Johnson's relationship with his father that I didn't know about, that like, his father was out of his life from like ages 3 to 17 or something like that, and then they rebuilt like a very good relationship after time. And so it's very interesting to see Nick, the character, like, kind of talk to Schmidt, both with Nick, the character's relationship with his own dad, and Jake Johnson, the actor's relationship with his own dad, now kind of being the, like, cautionary, you do this all the time, you get roped into him, and he always leaves you high and dry, and I'm always picking up the pieces. Like, I just felt like there was a lot in the background here for everybody.
Yeah, there's. I have one more note, by the way.
Please.
I've asked Allie, who sings this? Wider Than a Mile, I'm Crossing in Style, that song. I don't remember when it was played in the episode now.
I don't know that song.
It's there's a. You remember when it was played in the episode or no?
No. You know, I don't even, like, pay attention to... Oh, Moon River?
Yeah, Moon River.
When did they play Moon River?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't, music doesn't, except in like the challenges, I often don't notice music, which is sad, I guess.
Yeah, Audrey Hepburn, but.
Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey, excuse me, Audrey Hepburn.
Maybe but, Audrey Hepburn, daughter of winemaker
and
filmmaker.
A whole day. Everything today is.
Audrey Hepburn is the Gen Z version.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that maybe is just like too much of a. Because I was on my continuity kick here. But when Nick breaks out his hooch from the floorboards,
yeah.
I was like, is this the same whiskey that his friend made, which Busy Phillips was like, this is the best whiskey I've ever had?
Oh, it's a good
I just feel
back.
Like the writer of this was like a really big fan of New Girl. And, like,
well,
really
that makes sense
show.
If it was a writer's assistant who was probably like maybe tasked with like keeping some accountability for the writers or something.
Yeah, I often don't see this level of attention paid, I feel like, during the episode.
It's interesting.
So Gavin is like, let's go to dinner. And Nick gives him the business. Like, if you show up to dinner, you better show up forever. At that point, did you think he was showing up or not showing up?
I thought he was not showing up and it would be another disappointment. That's really where the writers were leading us. They zagged a few times this episode where we thought they would zig, you know?
I agree. Having even seen this episode, I was, like, prepared to ask you, like, is it Nick's fault if he doesn't show up? Because it is kind of a lot of pressure to put on somebody who's flaked out on this kid's life often, to pull him aside and say, it's like quitting smoking or something. It's like, if you're ever going to do this ever again, then don't even bother showing up. Feels like a lot of pressure to put on someone who is inclined to not show up. On the flip side, though, Matt Stewart says, Do you think Gavin would have shown up if Nick didn't do that speech? Like, is Nick the reason he ultimately does show
up?
Yeah,
then he's, like, putting his finger on the scale. It's probably true, yeah.
Turns out Gavin was there getting Schmidt's deposit back by, like, cleaning the whole place. A bit unrealistic. He gets mugged. He ran there. I love the, well, it was more of a walk jog. But he shows up. And that's a very nice moment that ends with Gavin offering up his vineyard to Schmidt and Cece.
Yeah, they're going to get married in a vineyard next episode or two episodes, whatever the double is next
week. Well, do you think that's really going to come through? Or are they going to be...
It's a good question.
You know, I could see... It's like begging for the vineyard doesn't come through, and Gavin has canceled the warehouse, and they have to get married at, like, Jess's school or something. You
well,
know?
Like, now that you're loft. Saying that, it's a really good point. However, you've already seen this television show, so I don't know if you're, you know, this is, like, confirmation bias of something you already know. But, yeah, that's a great question.
Honestly, because, again, it's been years. Brian asked me recently, like, could we figure out when we would have been done if we never missed an episode, you know, like,
yeah,
we started this. One of our biggest reasons for inconsistency is just like, we started this in a different world where we were both working from home all the time and you were fully remote. So you could stay up until 2 a.m. So like we never would have
fully
started
remote.
This
it was the pandemic. I was doing nothing. I was like,
oh yeah, that's what I mean. There
I was like
go.
Remote as a human. Yeah.
So like, it's not workable for us time-wise to have a regular podcast, especially when your one weekend slot obviously has to go to the one podcast you need to be, like, truly reliable to. So,
32 fans.
What?
No, made a joke.
I didn't hear you.
I said 32 fans.
Yeah. But, like, and I say that with no shade, like, totally, like, of course. So, we have no time that we can actually record.
Right,
so
it's a mistake. When
watch...
one of these podcasts happens, it's like a mistake. It's like you happen to be home and the same day I'm home, which is, you know, so.
But like, New Girl used to be a show I watched so religiously, but now I haven't seen in 2 years. So it's like,
right. I haven't
I'm
watched.
I'm very good at pretending I don't know what happens because sometimes I forget.
I have not watched Seinfeld since the Seinfeld podcast because I like to, like, and then I'll watch it again soon. Like, let it get, like, fresh. I loved rewatching The Sopranos earlier this year. And obviously I knew the main plot points and stuff, but like certain people I think would get killed, got killed much earlier, much later. Like I really loved like not knowing a lot of the minutiae. It was great. I wish, you know, obviously you wish you could wipe your memory. Yeah, what were you saying?
What is shocking to me, honestly, is how if you watch an old season of Survivor, like, I've watched every season of Survivor as it airs. There are very few seasons I've rewatched. And when they are, it's because either a contestant was coming to Max Dawson's class and I wanted to, like, be familiar with them. So there are a few seasons I watched, like, quickly then. And then if I've done, like, a retrospective with Rob, I will obviously prepare by watching the episodes. But my knowledge is not, like, that deep about it because I was 11, 12, 13, 14 when I watched. But when I watch, I remember specifically when I watched Token Cheens again, I knew the top two finishers. Like, I won't spoil it, but I knew first and second place. I knew it was a final two, whatever. It is shockingly still so entertaining to watch a season of Survivor, even when you know who wins. And I don't understand how. I'm still rooting for people. I'm still like, I hope, like, Steven doesn't get voted out. Like, I don't understand.
It's like watching ESPN Classic. Like, you know your team loses the close game, but it's like it was still a good game, you know?
See, even though that is completely analogous, I still can't imagine that would be interesting. like, I couldn't watch a game where I know the result. But yeah, it's weird, the human mind. All right, so maybe we're getting married at the vineyard, maybe not. Back at the loft, Jess catches Winston Cece up on what's been going on. Sam shows back up in a beautiful moment. Like, and shout out to Winston, who's continuing to be weird about the bird shirts. Really shout out to Lamorne, because he's got nothing to do, and he really makes a meal out of this bird shirt thing, love it or hate it.
Makes a meal out of it. That's an interesting expression, if you think about it.
That's girl. The original girl dinner is making a meal out of it.
Is making a meal out of something. Interesting.
But Sam, blown away by her selflessness, and says, like, yeah, if there was a time for me and Diane, it's past already, and they're stronger than ever, which... really does make sense. Not to be all, if he wanted to, he would, but like, feels a little rom-com for like all that was standing between their love over the last 20 years was not getting a letter. Mm. Sam's a confident hot guy. He probably would have asked you out if there was interest.
Mm.
Now I'm canceled.
All right, Keith, that's canceled.
It. You are canceled. All right. PK says, what do you think of the resolution of both storylines? I think Schmidt's dad finally changing in one episode seems too convenient slash usual for a sitcom, but Sam picking Jess over a long-lost love letter writer I didn't see coming and is less sitcom-y somehow.
What's the question? Sorry, you went over.
The question is, well, I guess Kelly's saying that felt a little bit too cute for Gavin to change on a dime in an episode and kind of like become a different person from who he's been over the last 30 years. But it was a twist, and I think you agreed with this, that like she thought Sam was going to pick Diane because that's the more sitcom-y thing to do, and it yes. was a zag to pick Jess.
Yeah, I mean that, but it's also sitcom-y for a person to like completely throw out all their personality traits and morals and like do it, make a decision that's like services the show.
Oh, like just giving the letter was sitcom-y.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you have done? You're ready to marry Mara. I mean, it's okay. You're 19. You're very serious with Mara.
Light it on fire. And you gotta light that letter on fire.
Yeah. Okay. You would
honestly.
Not
this
down.
Is a sign almost that. Well, there's two. I guess there's two things you could say. It's like a sign that either A, she's not like 100% like in love with Sam. Or she's so confident that she'll pick him, it's like, ooh, this is, you know what I mean? She's totally unthreatened by Diane.
I think there's also the third option, which is just like, if a woman can show up for 10 years later and lift my man off of me, then he was never my man. Like,
well, that's sort of what I'm saying. Like, that I'm not.
But I think you said it's like, because she doesn't love him that much.
Well, enough that. I hear what you're saying.
Like, almost more like, if he's going to leave me now, he's going to leave me later. Like, if this is going to be enough to shake him, then he's not really enough into me.
Yes, that's fair.
I think what I probably realistically would have done here is I would have talked to the person. Like, I would have gone to Sam and be like, I kind of have to tell you what happened in the bathroom. And you deserve this information, and you could do whatever you want with this information. But I'd like to see, selfishly, I couldn't live not knowing that I stood in the way. Again, if my whole relationship hinges on me not giving information, then I don't want that to come out later or be the only reason. I would probably be like, your best friend just told me she's in love with you. I'd like to see his reaction.
It's also weird. The story is weird where she writes him the letter when he's like away, right?
And she's away, but yeah.
She's away. Maybe like Doctors Without Borders or something. And they stay friends, right? It's not like they haven't had contact in 10 years, right? They're still friends. So it never came up, hey, I wrote this letter. I used to be in love with you. Like, if she was always in love with him and is still in love with him, she would have made a second, you know, attempt.
Right,
at some
it's
point.
George whispering into the other ear, I love you, because he finds out the girl he said he loved you to was deaf in one ear.
Right.
Like, you take the second shot.
She would have taken 5 shots.
She says, she addresses that. She says, like, he came back and just acted like it never happened, and I was devastated, but I couldn't lose him as a friend. So, like, I guess she didn't even consider that the letter didn't get to him.
Right.
She just thought humiliatingly he read the letter and ignored it.
Well, I don't think it would have mattered, but I hear you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't think Gavin showing up was so sitcom-y. It was sitcom-y. It would have been devastating if he didn't show up. But, like, I think they had set the table a little bit on Gavin wanting to change, wanting to be in Schmidt's life. Like, he ends up ruining it by kissing Jess. But, like, he does want to show up for him, and that's expressed before just today. That's why they're, like, having the wine tasting. And I don't think him showing up to dinner necessarily automatically means he's never going to flake again, right? It's just like he did this
right.
one time.
Yeah.
But I get a little bit, you know, awe, everyone hug now, for sure. Who won the episode? PK says, gotta be Jess, right? She wins Sam's love and is really cool with Diane. Nice growth from season 1, Jess and Julia. but honorable mention to Winston for the funniest performance in all his interactions with Sam.
Yeah, I think it's obviously Jess. One of the easier ones in a while.
I mean, Nick gets a real credit on the assist. Like, if you're counting assists here, like, Nick is a good-ass friend to Schmidt and gets the assist. I mean, Schmidt really is a huge winner in just outcome of, like, his dad shows up for him and he gets, like, a gorgeous wedding venue that he
doesn't have
to pay for.
You know what, Schmidt, honestly, that's a bigger deal, right? I think Schmidt actually, like, not being betrayed by his father once. Yeah.
And the
I mean, some episodes don't have an obvious winner. I think, like, Jess would be a winner in almost every episode of the series this way. That's tough. It's hard not to give. I'll say the relationship. I'll give it to Jess over Schmidt. But, yeah, that's a great point. Schmidt could
and Jess really encounters a threat that is thwarted. It's not like when she, like, got Sam back.
Right.
And the Diane stuff put her in a weird position. I might say Schmidt, but only because you said Jess. Like, I like having both covered. My mom just called me, and I cannot tell you how loud the ringer was just in my ear. Like,
do you have an extra loud ringer for the Jude?
I'm so upset about that. No, I think we're just low. Like, I don't know. That was so horrendous. I could die. All right, sorry. Like, now I feel like I just found out Alex recorded the Titanic podcast without me. I'm forever affected. Anyway, Matt Stewart says, Jess wins. The bold move paid off and strengthened her and Sam. So I'm good with it being 3-1.
Okay.
Cool. And then Matt says, which you addressed, are Sam and Jess now endgame or do we see Diane again? Now you think Sam and Jess are not endgame, but they will be if they survive the finale of the
correct
season.
That is my take right now.
And you think Diane's done if only, like.
Yeah.
Maybe unless he could walk out and be like, I actually changed my mind. I am in love with Diane.
And then she's in one scene max, yeah.
Okay. I would guess, honestly, just based on New Girl and television, that if Sam does leave Jess for Diane, Diane doesn't have to be there. And that almost, like, makes it worse. Like, I think he would just mention it. I don't think she would be there. All right. I don't have my phone, but one time Alex resent me a clip of his son talking about Banana. So next week I'll play that. It's cute. It's like a knockoff Banana Minute.
Cool. I do have a Garner Minute if you want to do it.
In the heart of another child.
I had a Garner Minute ready to go if you want to do that.
Let's do it. Okay. I will
we haven't
track
done one
it based
time
on the counter here. So I will do the alarm.
Okay.
So ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, when it gets to a good number, go.
Page 6. I was just talking about the New York Post. Page 6 has a story about our beloved Jay Garnes. That her and her ex-husband, Ben Affleck, have an amicable relationship. How do you know that? She hung out with Ben and J-Lo at a school event. The trio was spotted outside together. Garner was with her kids, Serafina and Samuel, while her ex-husband and J-Lo followed with J-Lo's kid, Emmy. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have kids in the same school. I don't know. But they were all there. They reportedly have a mature co-parenting dynamic, which is made easier since Affleck gets along with Garner's boyfriend, John Miller. Ben is super down to earth, and so is John. They have a mutual respect for each other. They've been dating on and off. I thought they were off last Garner Minute. I thought they were on a pause or something.
It's been like a year since we had a Garner Minute.
It's true. It's been a while.
That's the alarm. It's over. That was great. We should be doing that more often.
All right, we'll bring back the Garner Minutes. It is funny how often she's in the news. Like, I did check before, and it was like, oh, she's, you know, today or something.
She's famous.
Yeah.
All right, Keeve, we got 2 episodes to guess. Next week, hopefully next week, we wrap up season 5 of New Girl, which I can't prove this, but does feel like the longest.
Oh, for us? Yeah, no question.
Yeah. Has this taken us the longest to get through, even longer than the Olympics, though, whatever season that was?
Yes, I think this has taken us longer. We could check. We could have the fact checker check, but I believe yes.
I always know when we're in the Olympics because I did like a 5-minute check-in in August. So, Tinfinity. But I just don't remember what was the end of season. Okay, season. That was season 2. I could figure this out.
Okay. There was also 2 Olympics in the run of NGOG.
What'd you say?
I'm saying there was 2. There was the summer and the winter. But I think the winter we missed.
No, I think the longest was when I did a 5-minute check-in. Oh, no, because then I did another one where I talked about Ride the Eagle. All right. We did the finale of season 2, guest starring Taylor Swift, Elaine's Big Day, on 10/6/2021.
Yeah.
Different connotation then. All right, let me go back to the first episode of season 2, which was, I'm doing this in reverse, sorry everyone, February 24th.
So not even,
it
so
took
8 months.
Almost
something.
A year.
And what about this one, this season?
Okay,
when did
so
we
you
start?
Tabulate how long that was while I go
that
check
was
when
8 months.
Started season 5. That's less. Crazy. I guess not crazy for us.
No, it's going to be longer, I think. When did we start season 5?
Season 5, we started. See, I'm in season 4. Okay.
And we did a couple doubles this season for what it's worth.
Season 5 starts May 10th.
Oh, that's not so bad.
That's pretty bad. It's February 1st and we're not even done.
Yeah.
I mean, we
so
don't even know.
It's
going to
be 9 months
we
if we do next week. If it's, yeah, okay. And we do have an Olympics coming up in the summer, so maybe we got to knock out some of these season 6 episodes now.
Yeah, but at least you'll be busy, but we'll be in a better time frame.
True.
Okay, we got a new 5-star review from Chris AG, who says, sorry, Chris AG5, my favorite
he's
podcast.
He's the 5th Attorney General.
Do you remember this? I could listen to AA Industries converse all the time. Love the banter and usually forget there's a TV show to discuss. Well, you'll love this episode. Thank you for the last, very hard to listen to on the commute, laughing too much in public.
Do you think if we like merged with the Pretty Pretty Good podcast and like AA Industries was like me and you and Av and Alex? Is that something?
You know, it's hard enough to schedule a podcast with you. I don't need more Moos who.
No, I don't think we have to be. We're just on the same network. We're not podcasting with them. It's just like everyone with an A name is on our network.
You know, I see what you're saying, but I have better Dr. Amanda and like Ariel, you know?
They're
like,
invited too. It's all the A names. It's A industry.
It's AA. It's not AAA. It's not quadruple A.
Well,
it'd
have to
A
be.
Cube
so it's
squared.
Duos. It's A duos. You know, it's so Amanda and Ariel, they could come.
All right. Now that this episode's going to be an hour and a half, let's guess your episode guesses in. So let's start with season 5, episode 21, titled Wedding Eve.
Okay. It's the eve of the wedding. Okay. That's so far, I think I got that one.
But why a whole episode on the eve of the wedding?
Well, I think there's probably shenanigans. Probably things happen. Maybe the dress gets ruined again or you know.
My goal for season 6 is that you make some concrete guesses and big swings.
Okay,
even
I'll
if they're wrong,
swings.
You've just been, you don't have to do it now, but like,
I'll take bigger swings.
Things happen
yeah.
is not a good, I guess.
I mean, this is a hard game, but fine. I will take
I know, but
swings.
Like, there's no rules. You could be like, wedding eve, because the wedding never happens and they get married the night before secretly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just whatever. Just make it up.
Okay. And what's
be creative. Be fun.
Taylor Swift comes back again for this wedding.
And then episode 22 is called Landing Gear.
Ooh, that's weird.
That is weird, Keith.
Might be a spoiler. Someone flies. So there's an issue on a plane, and maybe it's going to ruin the wedding. Whose plane, though? Who's flying?
I think you could get here. I'm not saying that's right, but I think
Jess's,
you could make a connection.
Well, one of their parents. Oh, maybe the dad is like he's away, and he has an issue with the plane, and the vineyard gets messed up. Who knows? Maybe.
Keith, who's getting married?
Well, I said Jess, but I meant Schmidt. I was thinking Schmidt.
But who's getting married?
Schmidt and Cece.
Okay.
So it's either Cece or Schmidt. Like, maybe Cece's family can't make it in. Or Schmidt's dad, you know, has an issue and he lies. And the your prophecy, which, you know, was spoiled prophecy of the dad sort of messing the wedding day, comes true. Either way.
All right. Let's see it. We'll see what happens, Keeve. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
See you on a little video. My pipe and my dog. My pipe and my dog. My pipe and my dog. My pipe and my dad. My pipe and my dad.